It's 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas was one of the holdouts who led Republicans to back down on a health care vote today. After that decision, Cruz told reporters he still has faith.
I believe we can get to yes. I believe we will get to yes. It's going to take more discussions. And the most critical question is, how do we lower premiums? That's been my central focus from the beginning.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had hoped to get the measure through by the end of this week and before Congress leaves on its Independence Day recess. Party leaders are worried that pressure back home could weaken support even more. One major criticism of the bill is big proposed cuts in Medicaid funding. Today on Think, Van Newkirk of The Atlantic talked about how this could affect Texas.
Texas, although it has not expanded to low-income, able-bodied adults, it still has one of the largest Medicaid populations in the country. Because of people who were eligible under traditional Medicaid before Obamacare. And what the Affordable Care Act would do is say, Texas, you have so many people on Medicaid this year, and we're going to give you so many dollars per person. And actually, that would affect a state like Texas the most, because Texas's populations that are eligible for Medicaid are growing. You have lots of people, lots of low-income mothers, lots of immigrant parents and children who would be likely to be eligible on Medicaid, who now are facing a diminishing slice of the pie over time. So actually, Texas, its economic activity, its gross state domestic product, its ability to cover people will be diminished over the next 10 years, and then again over the decade after that.
This episode of Think airs tonight at 9. You could subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. Getting married, buying a house, creating a will, all of these major milestones share something in common: a notary. Paying someone to stamp your paperwork has been a part of doing business for centuries. KERA's Lauren Silverman reports that technology is transforming this custom in Texas and across the country.
Since the founding of our nation, notarizations have been done pretty much the same way.
I'd like to get something notarized.
Okay.
In person. Every year, there are hundreds of millions of notarizations in the U.S.
Despite the fact that there are so many notarizations in the U.S., the industry really hasn't changed much in literally centuries.
Adam Pace is co-founder of Notarize. It's a company that connects signers and notaries remotely 24 hours a day. The idea first became possible when Virginia passed a remote notarization law in 2012. In June, Texas became the largest state to follow. The process, Pace says, is simple. You upload a document, say a will or a marriage license, connect with a live notary on a split screen, verify your identity.
And the notary witnesses the person sign, either on their mobile device using their finger or on their computer by typing their signature. And then the notary applies their electronic signature and an electronic version of their stamp or seal.
The whole transaction is recorded. Right now, apps like Notarize are available to everyone in the U.S., but online notaries are certified and based only in Virginia, Texas, and soon Nevada. Other states have tried to pass similar legislation, but ditching those ink notary stamps for convenience has been controversial.
It's the notary issue of the year.
Bill Anderson is with the National Notary Association. He says there are more than 4 million notaries in the U.S.
In the notary community, we're split on this issue. Allowing that appearance to take place via audio-video communication technology is certainly new and to some extent untested.
One of the main concerns has to do with identification. How can an online notary make sure you are who you say you are? Here's the Texas authentication process. First, the notary runs your government-issued photo ID through third-party verification. Then, Anderson says, the notary asks questions that might be drawn from a credit report.
The identification provisions are pretty strong.
The other worry for webcam notarization is around coercion. Lorraine Pereverziev, a lawyer and mobile notary in Santa Barbara, fears people could be pressured into signing documents, like spousal agreements or wills, out of video camera range.
Who's behind the camera or under the desk or close by threatening that person, saying, you will do this?
Adam Pace with the company Notarize says the notary could ask the signer to show their surroundings. But Pereverziev doesn't buy it.
Sure. You think they would?
The one aspect of webcam notarization she does like is the ability to save audio and video recordings. That kind of accountability is part of the reason major mortgage companies are behind it. Even though the cost is a bit higher, the idea has taken off. So far, Adam Pace with Notarize estimates his company's done more than 10,000 notarizations on every continent except Antarctica.
We did get contacted by a business who has a base on Antarctica and told us that they have to travel to Christchurch, New Zealand to get documents notarized today. So there may be some light at the end of the tunnel for us getting that last continent.
Of course, there will still be those who prefer to stick with in-person notarizations, if only to hear that old school stamp of approval.
All right, that's all there is to it.
Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
On Tuesdays, KERA's One Crisis Away project looks at life on the financial edge. Today, we spotlight a choir that just returned from a whirlwind tour of New York City and Washington, D.C. For many members, this trip was a first. That's because they all happen to be homeless.
It's the first Dallas Street Choir rehearsal after the big trip to New York and D.C. And the mood is kind of like the first day of school after a long summer break.
All right, Terry, what you got for us?
Wow, I'm not going to be long-winded, I promise. But,
too late.
The 22 members who made the trip all stood up and talked about their experience. Michael Brown still can't believe he performed at the most famous concert hall in America.
At Carnegie Hall, for God's sakes, I mean, it's prestigious. You know, the saying is, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice, practice, practice. And I practice, 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 and I got to Carnegie Hall. It was beautiful.
Ready, go!
While the Carnegie performance was definitely a highlight, there were a lot of small moments that seemed to mean even more to the homeless men and women who made the trip. They traveled and performed with another group, a community choir called Credo, based in North Oak Cliff. Brown says there was no us versus them.
We were all on the same bus. We were all in the same hotel. Regardless of who had what money, we all had money that day. We all got food to eat that day.
Brown took his first flight on this trip. He didn't love the landing, but says he'd do it again. He took a boat to see the Statue of Liberty. He strolled through Central Park. He didn't feel invisible.
What the trip meant for me was that I can actually go above and beyond homeless. I don't have to have a roof to be successful.
Brown sleeps under a bridge right now. His choir mate, Christina Boyer, is also unsheltered.
I kind of use the canopy of the stars above me to shelter me and use him as my shield and sword.
She says the trip was awe-inspiring. They sang at two churches, Carnegie Hall, and the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Boyer says she loved singing with Credo. The power of both choirs together was something she didn't expect. And she says she'll never forget seeing the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery.
One single red rose fell on my side on the ground next to where we put the wreath down. And to me, it was like the symbol of love and beauty and blood. It really, really meant something to me, and it was an honor.
The honor, says Dallas Street Choir founder and director Jonathan Pallant, is all his.
Here we go. One, two, and go.
You hear the joy in every note that's sung. You hear the street. You hear one's life. You might hear one's struggle. You hear the hope.
Pallant says watching his 22 choristers, several of whom had never left Texas, experience two new cities was electric. Even the best-intentioned people, he says, often forget that homeless men and women have more than just basic needs.
To go to New York City and look up at Times Square and see the lights and say, that's where the ball drops. I wonder where so-and-so stands announcing that. Or going to Carnegie Hall and saying, Ella Fitzgerald sang here? It's unrivaled. It's better than a job. It's better than shelter.
For 9 days, these homeless men and women were singers and tourists, and nothing less. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
You can see the Dallas Street Choir's music video and pictures from rehearsal at keranews.org. And for the evening, mostly cloudy skies later tonight. There's a 20% chance for storms with a low around 73. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.